If you think you can't possibly afford to buy a home, or that paying off your mortgage is a pipe dream, Burn Your Mortgage is the must-read book of the year. Today, I'm pleased to be interviewing author Sean Cooper for SaveWithSPP.com. By day, Sean is a mild-mannered senior pension analyst at a global consulting firm. By night, he is a prolific personal finance journalist who has been featured in major publications, including the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, and Money Sense. He has also appeared on Global News, CBC, CP24, and CTV News Network. But his major claim to fame is that he bought a house and wiped out his $255,000 mortgage in 3 years before age 30 by living frugally and working three jobs. Thank you for agreeing to chat with me today, Sean.
My pleasure, Cheryl.
As a 20-something, why did you decide to buy a house?
Well, I guess a lot of people strive for home ownership. It's something that I guess your parents really push you to do. And for me, my parents were my biggest influence. We always owned a home growing up, so I thought that owning a home was kind of the path to financial freedom. So that's really what encouraged me to get into home ownership, and it was actually something I was thinking about ever since I was younger. So it wasn't like a light bulb came on one day. It was always something at the back of my mind, and once I got my first job, I started working towards that goal.
How much did your home cost, and how much was your down payment?
My home was, I purchased it in August 2012 for $425,000. My down payment was $170,000, leaving me with a mortgage of $255,000. Now, you're probably thinking, how can you get a house for $425,000 in Toronto? But one of the lessons that I talk about in my book is that you shouldn't spend too much on your house. So I kind of bought a modest house. I didn't go out and spend the maximum amount the bank approved me for. I could have spent over $500,000, but I found a house with everything that I needed for $425,000, and because of that, I was able to pay off my mortgage in 3 years.
Well, actually, what I was going to ask was, how on earth did you save a down payment of $170,000? How long did it take you to save it, and how many hours a week did you have to work to do it?
I was able, but it's definitely a sizable down payment for one person, so I pretty much started saving my down payment while I was in university. I was able to graduate debt-free from university, and while I was there, I was working as a financial journalist. I first started getting into that, and then I was also working at the MBA office and working part-time at a supermarket, and because of that, I was able to start saving the down payment while I was still in school, and then when I got my full-time job, I was saving probably like 75-80% of my paycheck. I wasn't living at home rent-free. I was actually paying my mother rent, so it wasn't like my parents helped me out a ton. I just had the goal in mind of owning a house, and I was willing to do what it took and save as much of my money to make that a reality.
What did you study in university?
I studied business management in university, I probably should have, if I could have gone back in time, probably would have done finance, because I find that the most interesting of all. I enjoyed those courses the most out of all of them.
So kudos for your determination and stamina. Do you think working three jobs is actually a practical option for most people, particularly if they have young families?
No, as they emphasize in the book, that's how I paid off my job, by earning like side hustle, basically, like working as a financial journalist on top of working at my full time job. So while for somebody like me who's single, it makes sense. It probably it's probably not realistic if you have a spouse and children, but there are plenty of things you can do to save money. I mean, do you really necessarily need two cars? Perhaps you can just go with one car and then kind of use a car sharing program in between if you need an extra vehicle, or there are plenty of ways to save on groceries. Try to cut back on going out to restaurants, maybe cut it down to twice a week instead of, like, you know, four or five times a week. Every little bit helps and saves money at the end of the day, and that's money you can put towards a house that you want to own one day, or if you own a house, you can burn your mortgage even sooner.
Many people, again, think they can never would be able to save up enough for a down payment. Can you give a couple of hints or tips that you give readers in your book that will help them escalate their savings?
Definitely. So I like to talk about creative living arrangements, and in cities like Toronto and Vancouver, where the average house is over $1 million, harder than ever to get a big enough down payment to get into the housing market. So the first thing that I would say is you definitely have to be realistic with your home buying expectations. You can't expect to go out and be able to buy the exact same house that you grew up with in your family, with your family. So, you know, you probably grew up in, you know, like three, four-bedroom, two-story house, and unfortunately those houses might be out of reach for you, but, you know, you can at least get your foot in the door of the real estate market by perhaps buying a condo or a townhouse and building up equity and then hopefully moving up one day. You know, if you're trying to save the down payment, which is the toughest part because, you know, that's what keeps people from becoming homeowners, going from renters, there's several options that you can do. So, I mean, if you're living in like a downtown condo, spending like $2,000 or $2,500 a month in rent, you know, if you really want to be a homeowner, you know, you might consider moving to a less expensive place and then, you know, saving that extra cash flow. If you can maybe get your rent down to $1,000 a month, you know, that's an extra $1,000 you can put towards saving. Or, you know, if you're not ready to give up that nice condo, then another option is to bring in a roommate and split the rent. So, you know, there are plenty of creative living arrangements. You know, you just have to be willing to make a bit of a short-term sacrifice, and then, you know, you can kind of get your foot in the door of the real estate market and start building equity and eventually pay off your mortgage.
How can prospective home buyers use registered plans like their RRSP or TFSA to beef up their savings and get some tax breaks?
If you're a first-time home buyer, I definitely encourage you to use the home buyer's plan. And the government basically allows you to withdraw $25,000 from your RSP tax-free if you're a first-time home buyer. And if you're buying with your spouse, that's $50,000 you can take out together. And that's a great way to get into the housing market because let's say your tax rate was 30%, you know, you put in $10,000 and then you get a tax refund of $3,000 and that's $13,000 in your RSP and then you can take that out later on. But the only word of caution that I can say is that, you know, when you withdraw the money, make sure that you fill in the correct forms. Just don't withdraw the money cash it in because then you're not following the rules correctly. And if you're not a first-time home buyer, then I would definitely encourage you to use the tax-free savings account because it's very flexible, and although you don't get a tax refund, the money grows inside tax-free, so that's your best bet if you aren't a first-time home buyer.
So after shelter, which means like mortgage or rent, food is a pretty expensive cost. How can people manage their food costs while still eating a healthy, varied diet?
Well, I definitely say that groceries, as you mentioned, are a major area of expense for people. So I offer a few tips in my book. So I definitely say, first of all, try to buy in bulk and on sale. So, you know, you might not be able to buy stuff like produce in bulk, but so general grocery items like cereal and rice and other stuff like that, you can kind of buy it in bulk and whenever it's on sale, and you know, that way you save time. You don't have to keep buying that stuff every week. And another tip that I offer is to buy in season. So, you know, I probably wouldn't buy cherries during the wintertime because it's going to cost you a small fortune. So, you know, try to buy apples instead. And, you know, during the summertime, if you enjoy stuff like watermelon, definitely buy it then. But, you know, if you're buying that during out of season, like during wintertime, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So, you know, try to be smart with your spending, and that way you can cut back your grocery bill considerably.
I loved your section on love, money, and relationships. Can you share some hints about how couples can manage dating and wedding costs to end up more money for their house?
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, people like to spend, you know, a fair amount on their wedding these days, and there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, you just have to consider your financial future and how that's going to affect it. So some of the tips that I recommend in my book, for example, is that, like, if you have any money left over after the wedding, you can start putting that towards a down payment. And one second, let me just see here. I'm just going to flip to this section with the tips that I have here.
Well, let's just talk about the ones you can remember, and then we can move into some other areas.
Okay, sure. Okay. Let's see. I would definitely say, in terms of dating, it's important to make sure that you're financially compatible and you have similar financial goals. Like, people's views are different when it comes to money. Like, somebody might be a saver and somebody might be a spender, and, you know, really, it depends on how you grew up. Like if you're like me and your parents always owned a house, then that can definitely influence, your views on home ownership. But if your parents, I guess, always rented, then you might not make that much of a priority. So it's important to sit down and make sure you're on the same page financially, and then find common financial goals and work towards them. Because, you know, if you're, you know, working against each other and you have different goals and you're not really on the same page, then, you know, it's could cause fights later on, and, it doesn't really make sense financially to do stuff like that.
How can prospective homebuyers determine how much they can actually afford?
Well, I definitely, if you're ready to start house hunting, I would definitely encourage you to get pre-approved for a mortgage, because it basically, the bank will tell you how much money you can afford to spend on a home. So that way you have a budget and you don't waste time looking at houses out of your price range. But a word of caution that I would say is that, just because the bank says that you can spend $800,000, you don't necessarily have to spend that much. So I would say take the time to crunch the numbers and see exactly how much you could afford in terms of, like, mortgage and other carrying costs. So when you own a house, there are a lot more expenses, like there are utilities, property taxes, and home insurance and repairs and maintenance. So basically come up with a mock budget ahead of time and, see how that will affect your current lifestyle. I would say if over 50% of your monthly income is going towards housing, that's too much. So, try to kind of balance that with your other financial goals, whether it's saving towards retirement or even going on a vacation. That way, all your money won't be going towards your house, and you will, actually be able to afford to have fun and save towards other goals as well.
So you're living in the basement and you rented the first floor. Why did you decide to do that instead of vice versa?
Well, for me, I'm just one person living on my own, and upstairs there's three bedrooms and two bathrooms, and I wouldn't know what to do with all the space. So it made sense to live in the basement, because, I'd lived in the basement for several years before that, so it wasn't really much of an adjustment, and I really wanted to pay off my mortgage quickly. So, I realized that for somebody in my situation who's single, that might work. But if you have a family, I'm not saying that you should necessarily live in the basement, but perhaps you could live upstairs and rent out the basement instead of using looking for storage. I mean, personally, I'd rather rent out the basement than, you know, get a second or third job. So it's all about kind of maximizing all the space that you have and looking for extra ways to earn income.
Well, we did that with our first house. Why did you decide to write the book?
Well, when I paid off my mortgage, a lot of people reached out to me for home buying advice, and in the media, there seems to be a lot of, I guess, negativity surrounding real estate in big cities. Like, I always hear that, you know, the average house costs over $1 million in Toronto and Vancouver, so it seems like for millennials, it's really out of reach. So I wanted to write a book to kind of inspire them and show them that home ownership is still a realistic dream, and it is still achievable if you're willing to be smart about your finances. So, you know, I don't want people to throw in the towel and think that they can never own a home. I kind of want to give hope to them and feel that, you know, they can follow in the footsteps of their parents and, you know, own that house with the white picket fence one day eventually.
Well, that's great. Congratulations, Sean. It looks like it's a great book, and I'm sure people reading and listening to this podcast will be wanting to run out and buy it. Where can they get a copy?
They can get a copy for pre-order on Amazon. The books will be shipped March 1st, 2017. It will also be available in Chapters and other major bookstores across Canada.
Well, that's very exciting. Good luck. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.